be together once again. It's kind of a slow morning for some of us, maybe. Everybody's a little drowsy. No, we're used to getting up early, right? Not for Sunny. Well, just want to welcome you here this morning. It is truly great. Oh, and Elizabeth's bringing me flowers. Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. Oh, these look beautiful. Well, a couple announcements here as we begin this morning. First of all, if you'd like to meet her, all the kids are here this morning, so go poke your head in after service and say hi to baby Adeline. She's in there with mom and the kids right now. Second announcement, and I'm sure you're feeling it right now, is that, yay, we have our cushions back. So thanks be to Laura for suggesting that we put our cushions back. I checked all the protocols and stuff, and we are good to go. So I hope that you're enjoying a nice cushy seat this morning. Amen, right? And then this third thing is that we'll be having communion this morning. So if you didn't grab a communion cup on the way in, you can feel free at this time or at that time later in the service to go and grab one. And so we're excited to celebrate the Lord's Supper here this morning. I want to just pause and ask, does anybody else have any other announcements? Yeah, go ahead, Susan.
So we talked a little bit about Easter at our board meeting last Sunday. And Jeff was talking about the Easter Bunny. And so we're hoping to have more semblance of some of the services that we typically do on Easter. Of course, you know, we'll abide by the food that we have that morning, the goodies, everything will be brought in separately undercover, and we'll make sure everything's served appropriately, things like that. But unless you've heard anything different, that's our plan, to have a Living Cross service at 10. Followed by our normal Easter morning service at 11. And then we propose having also a sunrise service that morning. So, working towards that, and Easter baskets, we'll have those for the children. So, Carolyn and I will be working on that. June has volunteered to help as well, and we'll be getting a head count, things like that, working towards that. So kind of normal?
Yeah, kind of normal.
Kind of normal.
Kind of normal. Yes, so we're excited. Didn't have Easter last year. Didn't have Christmas, really, this year. And Lord willing, we can have Easter this year, more normal, at least something. So, yes, something to be looking forward to, for sure. All right. Well, this morning, I want to call us to worship from the book of Joel. This is Joel chapter 2, and you'll remember this is the fourth Sunday in Lent. And it is kind of a somber time, right? It is a time that we reflect upon our own mortality. It's a time that we confess our sins before God. And here is what the prophet Joel calls us to worship to. This is how he calls us. This is Joel 2, verse 13. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents from punishing. Amen. our opening hymn this morning, I think, is appropriate. We're going to be singing Amazing Grace, so I invite you to stand with us. Susan will lead us. That's number 378, Amazing Grace. Our first scripture this morning comes from Psalm 32. We'll be reading the whole psalm in its entirety, verses 1 through 11. Psalm 32. Hear the word of the Lord. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. At this time, Tiger will be sharing special music with us once again.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Our second scripture this morning. It's hard to follow that up, but our second scripture is from 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll be reading verses 29 through 34. 1 Corinthians 15, 29 through 34. Hear the word of God. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die daily. I mean that, brothers. Just as surely as I glory over you, in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. These are the opening lines of the book of Ecclesiastes, written by the teacher, the son of David, supposedly King Solomon. And boy, did he wake up on the wrong side of the bed, right? Anybody else wake up on the wrong side of the bed this morning? Show of hands. Oh, come on. We're honest folk, aren't we? I did. You know, my alarm went off at 7 o'clock, and I felt like it was 6 o'clock. You know, I was just, you know, a little grouchy this morning. So y'all know what I'm talking about. I think y'all are with me, even though nobody raised their hand. That's okay. You can be shy this morning.
Sometimes you get to go for that.
What's that?
Sometimes you get to go for that.
Sometimes it's every day,
you
know, huh?
You
had, you were, yeah. The kids, you know, they don't know any difference. They're excited because they get to watch some cartoons at 8 a.m. So 8 a.m. came a lot quicker this morning for them. So maybe there was the right side of the bed for them. But maybe Solomon wasn't just having a bad day when he wrote these words. You know, maybe there's something to his message. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe everything is meaningless. Maybe everything is pointless. Well, that was Paul's point in our passage for this morning. Pun intended. All right. He was saying to the Corinthians, what's the point? If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, why are you doing all of these things? What's the point? Why are you a Christian if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead? If the dead aren't raised, and if Christ hasn't been raised, then why am I, Paul the Apostle, dying every day, suffering for the gospel, fighting wild beasts in Ephesus, and why am I following Jesus? And he might say to us at Mount Gilead this morning, he might say, you know, if the dead are not raised, you know, why are you doing shoeboxes every year? Why are you doing Christmas and Easter baskets every year? Why do you come and meet here and worship together every Sunday if Christ has not been raised? And if the dead are not raised, and if Christ has not been raised, you know, why aren't we just going out every night and partying the night away, living like there's no tomorrow? What's the point? I used to live that way. I used to think that way, that there is no point in life. So it can kind of give you an excuse to do whatever you want, you know, just live and let live and sin however you want. If there's no point to life, what does it matter? That's how I thought. That's how I lived before I was a Christian, when I was an atheist. That was my thinking. And I'm sure that before you were Christian, maybe that's how you thought as well. And I know that's how a lot of people today think and act. What's the point? There's no point to life. There's no point to anything. So we can just do as we please. And sadly, that's how some of the Corinthians were still thinking during Paul's day. Not all of them, but some of them. If the dead are not raised, and if Christ has not been raised, then life is meaningless and we can just do as we please. Well, the Corinthians weren't just doing this because they hadn't gotten the world out of them yet, you know, because they weren't holier than thou yet. They weren't doing it because of that. They were doing this. They were thinking this way. They were being led into sin by other people. There were imposters in their community. Imposters who were leading them astray and leading them into sin. And Paul commands them in verse 33. He says, do not be misled. Do not be led astray. Do not be deceived. And then he quotes a pagan Greek philosopher and Greek poet, a really common saying during his day that everyone would have known. He says, bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good character, good habits. And you see, there were some in the community who were not following the Lord and were leading others down this path of sin. And that's why Paul urges them in the very next verse, in verse 34, he says, it's like he's taking them and shaking them. He says, come back to your senses. Sober up is literally what that means. Get sober as you ought, as is right. And then he says, and stop sinning. You see, the Corinthians, both individually and as a community, they had a sinning problem. They had a sinning problem. They were quarreling over church leaders. Who was the best? Who was the greatest? Didn't we hear that from Jesus' disciples one time? There was a man who was sleeping with his mother-in-law. And the church at Corinth, they were happy about it. They were celebrating it. Patting him on the back, saying, good job, that's wonderful. They were eating meat that had been sacrificed in honor to pagan gods and was sacrificed in worship to these pagan gods and thinking nothing of it. They were completely chaotic and disorganized in their worship services, in their public worship together. And they were fighting about spiritual gifts, which one was the greatest? Speaking in tongues was what they thought was the greatest. And some were having these ecstatic tongue-speaking experiences right in the middle of worship. So it's like someone just got up right now and just started someone just started blabbering in the middle of service in unknown language to anyone there. And interrupting everything, interrupting the order of their worship. The Corinthians had a sinning problem. And what that means is basically that they were not loving God, and they especially were not loving one another. It was within this context that Paul gives us the famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. You know the rest. The Corinthians had a sinning problem, the inability to love one another, to put the other person first, to think of others as more than themselves, and to treat others how they would like to be treated. And the question is, why? Why couldn't they love each other? Why couldn't they just get along, right? Where had they gone wrong? And what was holding them back? Well, Paul identifies it right here in our passage this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, 29 through 34 unlocks the whole understanding of the whole epistle of 1 Corinthians, of why Paul is writing to them. It's their denial of the resurrection of the dead. That's what's holding them back. If the dead are not raised, if Christ has not been raised, that was the issue. If the dead are not raised, here was their thinking. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Life is meaningless if Christ has not been raised. And the translation? If the dead aren't raised, Christ hasn't been raised, then let us just give up caring. You've heard the song before. I'll try to sing it. Nothing really matters, anyone can see. Nothing really matters, nothing really matters to me. We've all heard that song. And you see, that was the issue. They were denying that the dead would be raised by God on the last day. And that type of thinking, that denial of resurrection, leads to sinfulness. If you don't believe in a God who raises the dead, how can you die to yourself each moment of each day to serve those around you? Living a life of self-sacrifice, a life of love, because that's what love is. Living that kind of life of self-sacrifice requires a faith that believes in a God who vindicates those who suffer for the sake of others. A God who will one day raise us up after having suffered a little while. The Apostle Peter also shares the same sentiment. He says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." And even Jesus himself believed that God his Father would raise him up from the dead 3 days after he would suffer and die for the sake of the whole world. And going back even further, even Father Abraham, Paul tells us, Abraham believed in a God who could raise the dead, which is why he was willing to sacrifice Isaac in obedience. So what's the point? Well, the point is that the worst sin that the Corinthians were doing was not that they were celebrating a man sleeping with his mother-in-law, though on the surface we might say that's the worst thing that we've heard in all of 1 Corinthians. In reality, the worst sin that they were committing was denying the resurrection of the dead. Because denying the resurrection of the dead means denying Jesus rising from the dead, which means that everything else in life is utterly meaningless, as the teacher in Ecclesiastes once wrote. And if everything is meaningless, then so is sin, and therefore I can sin all I want and hurt whoever is in my way. It doesn't matter. So this morning, I want us to be reminded that the best thing that we can do to grow closer to the Lord is to affirm and to reaffirm again and again our belief in the resurrection of the dead. And we say it in our creed every Sunday: I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. It is said that wrong thinking leads to wrong doing. And the opposite of that is also true, that right thinking leads to right doing. So let us think rightly about who God is this morning. That will lead us to do right as well. And I know that many of you are going through a lot these days. And we are too. Everybody's going through a lot. And our circumstances, particularly the ones where things aren't going right, our circumstances often try to distort our view of God as our good and loving Father. And it's hard in the midst of suffering and pain to really believe that God is the God who raises the dead, who loves and cares for us when our world's falling apart, and that God is the God who will lift us up and raise us up out of the mess that we are in. But those are the times, my friends, that we need to exercise our faith all the more in the God who raises the dead. There's a song that I've heard here recently, and it's really touched my heart and really touched my soul. There's this one line that I keep just going back to, and it says, "The story isn't over if the story isn't good. The story isn't over if the story isn't good." And that's the kind of faith that we need when we're down and out, when all hope is fading and when it seems like God isn't there. The story isn't over if the story isn't good. Be assured this morning that God is the God of resurrection. He brings new life. He brings goodness in the midst of evil. He brings goodness in the midst of pain. And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he says this, do you believe this? That is the question that was asked to the Corinthians 2,000 years ago. Do you believe this? And it's still being asked of us today, this morning. May our answer here today and every day be a resounding yes. Let's pray. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. You are God, and we are but lowly people, created in your image, lost, broken, beaten, wandering. But we thank you, God, that Jesus doesn't leave us there. We thank you, Lord, that he is the light of the world, that he is the resurrection, that he is the life that we need each and every day, each and every moment, right here and right now. Lord, I pray that whatever we're going through today, this morning, whatever happened this past week, whatever's going to happen, whatever bumps will come into our roads this week, Lord, that in those moments, God, that you would help us to have faith. Lord, to say, I don't believe that the story's over. Sorry, Satan, you can't get me down. The story's not over if the story's not good. My God will rescue me. So, Lord, I pray this week that just like David called upon you when he was in danger, Lord, that you give us his kind of faith. Lord, give us the faith that says, when evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, give us the faith to say, they will stumble and fall. Give us the faith like David's that said, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Lord, you're the source of that confidence, and so we pray with David. One thing we ask of you, Lord, this is what we seek, that we may dwell in your house all the days of our lives. We pray, Lord, that we could gaze upon your beauty and seek you in your temple. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So fill us up, Lord, with your Spirit this morning. Touch our hearts, touch our lives, and give us that great resurrection faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd invite you at this time to take your hymnal and stand, and we are going to affirm our faith here this morning. Number 881, it's the Apostles' Creed. Let us affirm our faith in the Lord together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Go ahead and share some praises and prayer requests. I didn't do a good job of this last week, but Let's start with praises, okay? And then after praises, we'll move to requests and concerns. So who's got a praise that they'd like to share? Yeah, Tiger.
I guess because usually when we have to go forward an hour in the spring, that's usually stressful for me. And I'm not going to lie, it was kind of stressful for me yesterday and so forth. But I just thank the Lord that I really was kind of prepared for it, getting up. And I mean, after I paid our animals and stuff, I know I spent about an hour in prayer and so forth. And, I mean, I just think it's just wonderful that the Lord can get a person through that.
Wonderful. Any other praises?
I do praise God for my health and for his watchful care over me, that he keeps me safe and keeps me from harm's way.
Amen.
I'm thankful for God I can get up this morning and put on the right attitude. And put all these things on through faith in Christ's word. And through the Holy Spirit, Him speaking in our hearts when we're speaking to Him, He can rise you up, you know. We have to put on Christ, the mind of Christ, His peace, His joy, His happiness. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy that speak in our thoughts and our minds. Pray for every thought we have to. I enjoy that.
I will praise the Lord this morning that Adeline is 4 months old. She is just such a joy to our whole family. So, and I want to praise God for all of our children. So Asher and Ayla are amazing. And I'm grateful that I get to spend every day of every week with them during this pandemic. It's just been a wonderful time. So I praise God for that. Let's move on to requests and concerns. Anybody have a... Yeah, June?
You know, it's a good thing to know that people around you know that you're a Christian, because a couple of weeks ago I had an experience where the checker at one of the grocery stores in Cincinnati came around her station and put her arm around me, and she said, "Will you pray for my sister? Her sister is in Florida, and her sister has been diagnosed with a very aggressive type of cancer." The sister's name, but they call her Noni. I'm not sure what her name is. Also, just a few days later, I found out that the mother of another friend of mine in Indiana has also been diagnosed with cancer, and she had began radiation. So those are a couple of people that I'd like for you to pray for. That, the second lady's name is Ann. So we have Noni and Ann. And also ask that you pray for, continue to pray for people that have been severely impacted by the COVID virus and people that have lost family members. It's been really difficult for some of us, but God is faithful.
Any other requests? Yeah, Carolyn?
My sister has some health issues and stuff, so I like her to pray for her. Her name's Shirley Whalen.
What's the last name?
Whalen.
Whalen. Probably remember J.W. Ballard as well. Yeah, Tiger?
Okay, a couple of things. My youngest sister, her ex-husband, just got out of prison. And just
is that Jenny?
Yeah.
Jenny? Yeah.
Just pretty good with the wisdom in dealing with that. I mean, just sniping back and forth with him and the media, I just don't think that's wise. But I'm going to say something about this guy right now. He got out on good behavior. And he claimed that he gave his life to Jesus, but I'm going to tell you up front right now, it's a jail Jesus, because he's not living it now. He's not. So pray about that. And also, my brother-in-law, my other sister's husband, his brother just died of COVID in a hospital in New Jersey, and he got it in the hospital. And pray that you be with him. And I just think that's something to... My niece works in at Central Baptist, her and her fiance both, and she was really taken by that. Mm.
Yeah. What was that, Angelo?
Angelo Alberti.
He just passed away?
No, his brother is Charlie Alberti. Angelo.
Oh, Charlie, okay.
That's alive. It's Angelo's brother, Charlie
okay.
Alberti.
Any other requests?
Unspoken?
Yes. Any unspokens? I'm raising my hand too. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll pray the Lord's Prayer during our communion liturgy. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we want to come to you with thanksgiving. Lord, we praise you for this new day, Lord, that your mercies are new every day. And Lord, thank you just for the small victories, even just, Lord, preparing Tiger here this morning and just him feeling good. And even though he was kind of stressed out about this time change, I know I was. But thank you, Lord, for getting us up here and early this morning. We praise you with Sonny, too, that you give us Christ. And that means that we can have good attitudes, that we can be up and at them, and, Lord, that you put a smile on our faces. Lord, we want to praise you for Randy and thank you for his good health and safety. Lord, thank you for all of our health and safety, Lord, that we're able to be here this morning. And Lord, I thank you for my children, and I know that everybody here is thinking about their own children or grandkids. And Lord, we thank you for the children that you've given us. The kingdom of God really truly belongs to them. And so we praise you for the life that you give to our kids. And Lord, we want to lift up to you now. We want to lift up Noni and Anne. And Lord, as they've been diagnosed, Lord, with cancer and aggressive cancer, Lord, and we pray for your healing. We pray, Lord, for you to intervene. And we pray, Lord, that you would work through this hardship and toil to bring glory to you. Lord, we want to lift up all of those who are enduring COVID right now. Lord, those who have it right now, family members who've lost their loved ones. And Lord, we know we're not completely out of the woods yet. Thank you that things have been going a little bit better. But Lord, we pray for the families, especially of survivors, Lord, that you would give them strength during this time. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift up Shirley Whalen and just ask you, Lord, for good health for her, for healing, for whatever she's dealing with. Lord, we lift up David Kessel and ask, Lord, that you'd be with him. Lord, give him good strength in his knee and his hip. And Lord, we pray that you'd just continue to watch over him and fill him with your peace and joy. We lift up J.W. Ballard, our brother, as well, and thank you for him. Lord, we pray that Lord, that you also give him strength, give him encouragement, Lord, as he's just had one ailment after another. Lord, just help him now. Lord, we want to lift up Jenny and just pray that you give her wisdom as she deals with her ex-husband, Lord. We also want to lift up Charlie's family as well, and the Albinos, Lord, and just pray, Lord, that that you help them during this very sad and mournful time. And Father, we lift up to you all of our unspoken requests now. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you now to take your hymnals and turn to page 7. We'll begin at the bottom of page 7. We'll read together those words that are in bold, beginning with the invitation here at the bottom. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. We won't be passing the peace to one another this morning, but you can look at your neighbor and those around you and say good morning, top of the morning to you, peace of Christ. And as forgiven and reconciled people, let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God. This time I invite you to stand, and we will remember our offering and sing the doxology together. Let us stand and sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave him birth to your church. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from the slavery to sin and death, and made with us a covenant, a new covenant, by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. This is the body of Christ given for you. Amen. This is the blood of Christ given for you.
Amen.
Amen. pray together. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we close this morning, we're going to sing one of our favorite hymns around here, the hymn Until Then, number 362.
Red Book 133.
Oh, 133 in the Red Book. 133. Suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.